Now, this seems like a good time in the service to ask the question, what's your favourite type of egg? What's your favourite type of egg? That's probably a question you've been thinking quite a bit about recently. I'll give you four options, and then we'll take a vote. And you over there can also vote on these options. Option one, favourite type of egg. You could go with a chicken egg. There's more excitement than I expected for the chicken egg. Option number two is a Cadbury's mini egg. Option number three, Cadbury's cream egg. Oh, now this is exciting. Came in a pack of five if you want to see me afterwards. Option number four is a Belgian white chocolate egg. So those are your four options. You can choose a chicken egg, a Cadbury's mini egg, a Cadbury's cream egg, or a Belgian white chocolate egg. Okay, we'll take a vote by a show of hands. Who's going to go with the chicken egg? Okay, much more than I expected. Mini egg, got three fans over there. I've got a whole bag, speak to me afterwards. Cream egg, quite a popular option there. And the Belgian white chocolate egg. Okay, a few of you have put your hands up for more than one of the chocolate options. That's fine. I think probably the cream egg was maybe the most popular here in Lichard. But certainly I think we can agree that the best types of eggs are chocolate eggs. Can we agree on that? The best eggs are chocolate eggs. It seems such a shame, doesn't it, that we only get chocolate eggs once a year. That after this, you go to the shops and you don't see them. You can't get them. You can't enjoy them. Don't think about them. Don't see them. It seems a shame, doesn't it? I think they're too good to just enjoy once a year. I think we should have chocolate eggs all year round. Who agrees with me on that? I'm going to put a petition at the back. If you could sign it, if you agree, have chocolate eggs all year round. Yes, it'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? I think we should celebrate chocolate eggs throughout the whole of the year. And today, I want to see that the same is true of the resurrection of Jesus. That this is also something we should celebrate throughout the whole of the year, not just once on one day, but throughout the whole of the year. Now, today is a special Easter celebration, so we've come for this special Easter service. But this is good news that's worth celebrating every day, the good news of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, who died and rose to give us life. Because there's a danger maybe for some of us that we come here today and we celebrate Easter, and then once the Easter eggs have disappeared from the shelves, we forget about the resurrection of Jesus, and we don't think about it, and it doesn't make any difference to our lives, and that would be a shame. So today, I want to persuade you of two things. All of you, I want to persuade you of two things. First thing, I want to persuade you to go to the shops on Tuesday and buy as many discounted Easter eggs as you can. So you enjoy them for the rest of the year. And thing number two, and more importantly, I want to persuade you that the resurrection of Jesus is worth celebrating every day of the year, every year of our lives. And to do that, we're going to follow the story of Mary Magdalene. And we're going to look at the story together. And then a bit later, the children over there have got a craft to do, and I'll talk a bit more to the grown-ups. But to listen to the story together, I'll need your help. And that includes those of you over there who are doing some colouring and drawing. We'll need your help for this bit of the story, and we all need to pay attention to the story so we can make sense of the craft later on. And for this story, we're going to do something similar to what happened when you came down for the school. We're going to think about how Mary Magdalene felt at different points in the story, and we're going to give you four options of how she could have felt at different points in the story. And you can show which option you think is right by making the appropriate face. So, option one, happy. You do your best happy face, everyone? Do a happy face? Some of you are not very used to doing a happy face. Happy face. What about a sad face? Can you all do a sad face? What about a confused face? What about a scared face? Very good. Okay, we'll practice them all together. Happy, sad, confused, scared. Happy, confused, scared, sad, scared. Okay, we'll see how we get on. We'll follow the story of Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene, she was someone who had followed Jesus, and she'd seen that he was someone really special. And she saw him teach amazing things and do lots of amazing things. And she saw that he was someone who claimed to offer life and joy and hope. But then she watched as he died. He was put to death as a criminal. He died on a cross like that. And Mary Magdalene knew that he was innocent, he hadn't done anything wrong, but the people in power wanted him out of the way. And Mary Magdalene watched as he was buried, his body put in a tomb like that one over there. He'd been a good friend, he'd been an inspiring teacher, he'd made all these great promises, and now he was gone. How do you think Mary felt at that point? Doing your sad faces. Would ask again, how do you think Mary felt at that point? Sad face. It's a sad moment. But then, one Sunday morning, Mary came to the tomb to mourn. And we know from the other Gospels that she came with some other women, but John wants us to focus on Mary, so we'll look at Mary this morning. She came and she found that the stone of the tomb been taken away, and his body wasn't there. His body had gone. Actually, she didn't know where it had gone. I'll do you some faces to show how you think Mary felt at that point when the body had gone. Some confused faces. Yeah, very confused. And yeah, scared a bit. Shocked, shocked. That wasn't one of the options, but that's okay. Shocked, confused. And still sad, of course. Has someone stolen his body? And who would that be? She knows that she needs to find Jesus. She's not going to rest until she's found him. So she runs to tell some of Jesus' friends. We've seen Peter and John. And she says to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. And when they get to the tomb, they look in and they find that the tomb is empty. Well, not completely empty, because inside they see some linen cloths. Here's what they find. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. So if someone's stolen the body, why would they go to all the trouble of taking off the linen cloths and folding them up? Doesn't make sense. So how do you think the disciples felt at that point? What face are you going to do now? More confused faces. Confused. And still, obviously sad. And we go back to Mary. And Mary is on her own and she's crying and weeping. And she looks in the tomb again and she sees two angels. Now she doesn't realize that they're angels. And they ask her, why are you weeping? She says, they've taken away my Lord and I do not know where they have laid him. And then she turns around and she sees Jesus. Well, as we heard, she doesn't realize it's Jesus. She thinks it's the gardener. They're in the garden. That's where you find gardeners. She thinks it's a gardener. How does she feel at this point, before she realises it's Jesus? What face are you going to do now? How does she feel at this point? Still confused, still sad, doesn't know where Jesus is. But then she hears one word that changes everything. And the word she hears is her name, Mary. And she recognizes the voice now, that this is a familiar voice, a voice of love and concern. And when that voice speaks that name, it brings an end to her sorrow, it brings an end to her fears, it brings an end to her sense of hopelessness. So the last face, how do you think she feels at this point? A happy face? I think even happier than that. Happier face? Happier? Happier? Even happier? It's an exciting moment, isn't it? It's an amazing moment for Mary. That Jesus, who was dead, he's now alive. And he comes to her and wipes away her tears and takes away those fears. An amazing moment for Mary and an amazing moment for us as well. Because Jesus didn't just rise from the dead so he could wipe away Mary's tears, but so he could wipe away our tears. He didn't just rise from the dead so he could take away Mary's fears, but so he could take away our fears. He didn't just rise from the dead to give Mary hope, but to give us hope, including that promise of a brighter day that we sang about with our tambourines, a day when he'll bring an end to all of the sad and all of the scary things in this world. So Easter is the story of Jesus sorting out the two saddest things in the world. Do you know what the two saddest things in the world are? One of them is sin. Maybe that's not what you're expecting me to say. We'll get to the one you're expecting in a moment, but one of them is sin. Sin is when we live our own way rather than God's way. We do our thing rather than God's thing. And that's a really sad thing because God made us and God loves us. And our sin has brought so much pain into this world. And our sin stops us having a proper relationship with God. That's one of the saddest things in the world. And the other sad thing is death. Death is always a sad thing. It's always sad when someone dies. And so we find Mary weeping before she meets Jesus. And the Bible tells us that humans die because humans have sinned. And death permanently cuts us off from knowing God. But the good news of Easter is that Jesus came into this world to solve the problems of sin and death. He died on the cross to take away our sin and rose from the dead to show that he's more powerful than death. So that one day he will come back and he'll bring a final end to all sin and all sadness and all death. And if we trust him, if we believe in him, on that day we'll hear him calling our name, as he called Mary's name, and he'll wipe away all of our tears, he'll take away all of our fears, and we'll be able to enjoy life with him in a perfect world forever. Does that sound like news that's worth celebrating every day of the year? Yes. Every year of our lives? Well, we'll think a bit more about that news in a moment, but we are going to sing another Easter song. After this song, Caroline has some craft for the craft area to do, and I've got a few more words to say to the grown-ups. Those of you who are thinking, I'm a grown-up, why don't I get to do craft? If you speak to Caroline at the end, she may have some spare craft that she can give you to take home, so don't miss out on that opportunity. But before we think a bit more about what difference this news of Easter makes to us, we're going to sing See What a Morning. It's an Easter song that follows the journey of Mary as she's weeping, but then hears that voice speaking her name and rejoices. See What a Morning, gloriously bright. So over here we're going to come back and think a bit more about what difference this good news of Easter makes to our lives today and tomorrow and Tuesday and the rest of this year. And we're going to think about that by thinking about a promise that Jesus made, a promise that Jesus made earlier on in the Gospel of John that I read from earlier. A promise that when Jesus rose from the dead, showed really clearly that this promise is true and a promise we can trust. A promise that Mary Magdalene could see was true and that we can see is true today. And the promise is this promise, and you can read it later in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That's why Jesus came into this world, he says. "I have come that people may have life and have it to the full." And the resurrection shows us so clearly that Jesus is able to offer us life to the full, which in the Bible means real life, abundant life, lasting life with the God who made us. And if you forget the verse, it's on a banner on the end of our building, so you can have a look on the way out. It's also, although I didn't plan this, it's on my egg bag. It says life to the full. It's that verse, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." We've already thought a bit earlier about why it is that we don't experience life to the full at the moment. And there are lots of things that are great about life at the moment. Lots of things that we can celebrate and enjoy, like Belgian white chocolate Easter eggs. I like Belgian milk chocolate Easter eggs and Belgian dark chocolate Easter eggs. And you may be able to think of things that aren't chocolate Easter eggs. I can't at the moment. But lots of things that we can rejoice in and celebrate in this world. But we also all know that there's a lot of sadness in this world. A lot of weariness and heaviness, pain and frustration, loneliness and fear, and that most sorrowful experience of the pain of death and loss. And behind all of those problems, as we heard earlier, behind all those problems lies sin. That when God first made this world, it was a perfect world. It was a world filled with life and joy and abundance. And God made humans to enjoy that world of life and joy and abundance. And he made us for life with him. To enjoy life in relationship with him. Trusting him. Listening to him. Following him. Honouring him. That's the way that we were made to live as humans. It's the right and best way to live. That's what real, true life looks like. Life in relationship with God. The problem is that we haven't always trusted God to have our best interests at heart. We haven't always thought that it is best for us to listen to God, to follow God, to honour him in our lives. We've gone our own way. We sin, we turn away, we disobey. And because generation after generation of humans have done that, going right back to the first humans, instead of living in a world where we experience abundant life with God, we live in a world where we experience an abundance of sorrows without him. That includes that experience of death. And it also includes something even worse than death. But the Bible says that after death, we deserve to face God's judgment. And the judgment we deserve for our sin, for turning away from God, is to be sent away from him forever. But the good news of Easter, and the reason why we've celebrated this morning, the good news of Easter is that God loved us so much that he didn't leave us in that position. He didn't leave us in our sin. He didn't leave us alone in this world of sorrows. He didn't leave us to head towards death and judgment. That the God of love who made this world came into this world in Jesus. That Jesus lived that perfect life that we failed to live. Then he died that death that we deserve to die. And then he rose again so he could offer us life to the full. Real, abundant, lasting life with God. And that lasting life, life that begins now as we come to Jesus and put our trust in him, that we can experience life in relationship with God again, in friendship with God. That relationship that our sin would stop us enjoying, but Jesus died to bring us forgiveness for our sin. So we can know God as a God of love who cares for us. We call the God of the universe our Father in heaven. We can have that personal relationship and friendship with him, which means that whatever sorrows and pain we experience, and whatever fears we have, if we know Jesus, we're not alone. That we know that the God of heaven is with us, and he's for us, and he's at work in our lives. That the living God is with us to help us, to strengthen us, to reassure us. The abundant life that begins for us now as we come to know God as our Father in heaven, as we come into this personal relationship with him. And it's life that will continue forever. That's what life to the full involves. Life forever. We have this promise of a brighter day. Even if we trust Jesus, we will still face death and the reality of dying. But Jesus promises to lead us safely, even through death, to a new experience of life, a new glorious experience of life with him. And one day in the future, just like Jesus was raised from the dead, all of his friends will be raised with new glorious bodies to live in a glorious new world where all the sad things of this world come to an end for good. Here's how the Apostle Paul puts it in one of his letters. And these are words we're going to be looking at in our afternoon service this afternoon, 4 o'clock. Everyone welcome to join us, and we'll have some fish finger sandwiches afterwards. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that's sleeping in death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body, these bodies that we have that decay and die, this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? When you go to the shops on Tuesday to buy your discounted Easter eggs, you see there's an expiry date on them. Make careful note of that date. We will not be held responsible for anything that happens. But they have an expiry date stamped on them. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus rose from the dead, he stamped an expiry date on death. There's a day coming when death will be no more, when death itself will come to an end. Whatever sorrows we experience now, whatever fears we experience, if we know Jesus, we know that the living God is with us, and he's leading us to a brighter day, to a glorious eternal day, life without end, life without sin, life without sorrow, with our God forever. Does that sound like news worth celebrating every day of the year? Every year of our lives? If you are celebrating this news, if you are a Christian who follows Jesus and you do celebrate this news, I hope that this will be a year that you'll celebrate it even more. I don't just mean during our celebration today, I don't just mean sing extra loudly for the last hymn, although you can do that, but also that throughout this year, as we go into May and June and July and August, each day you'll live with this joy and hope that comes from knowing that he is alive, he's risen, and he's coming again. Hope that this will be a year for us as a church of even more celebration in the resurrection of Jesus, not just on Easter Sunday, but every Sunday. through the week as well. And if you're here today or you're joining us online and you haven't started celebrating this good news yet, you've come to church because you want to know a bit more about what Easter is about, but you haven't started celebrating this as good news for you, my prayer for you is that this would be the Easter where you would realise why this is good news and why it's good news for you. That this Easter you would come and join this celebration that we can be part of in Jesus. That you'd see that this Easter story is not just a nice story. These are real events that changed history. And what we've read this morning from the Bible, John's Gospel, that story of Mary Magdalene, these are based on eyewitness accounts of people who were there and saw Jesus and spoke with Jesus after he'd risen from the dead and touched him and ate food with him. And some of those people went on to die for their beliefs because they saw so clearly that Jesus was alive, he'd risen just as he said, he was who he said he is. And this was a message people needed to hear, even if it meant losing their lives for it. And this Jesus, who is alive today, continues to change lives. He's changed my life. He's changed the lives of many people in this room. And he can change your life today. That this Easter, you can come to Jesus if you haven't already. You can come admitting your sin, as we all need to. Admitting that you've gone your way instead of God's way in your life. To come to Jesus, thanking him for dying for our sin, asking that he would forgive you and give you new life with God, new hope for the future. And come to Jesus, asking him to be your Lord and your Saviour, your source of life, real life, abundant life. I realise you may still have some questions. Maybe you're not ready to take that step yet. And if you do have questions, please ask your questions on your chairs. I don't have one up here. I'll come and get one. On your chairs, you have this yellow postcard, and this has details of Hope Explored. This is a three-week course that we do here at Literature Mission. Just three sessions, finding out more about the hope that Jesus offers. And we watch some videos, and we have some discussion. And it's a time that you can come with all of your questions, any questions you can ask, or you can just come and listen to other people's questions. You won't be put on the spot, you won't be asked to read out loud, you won't be asked to pray, you won't be asked to sing, there's no cost. If you'd like to know more, I encourage you to pick up one of these on your way out and get in touch with me if you'd like to find out the details of the next Hope Explored course. To find out about this life that Jesus offers, this abundant, lasting life to the full. So my hope for all of us this Easter, as we celebrate together today, two things I hope. One is that Tuesday you will go to get your discounted Easter eggs, so throughout the whole of the year you can enjoy eating them. And I do have 5 cream eggs for the first 5 people who come to me and ask if they can have a cream egg. You can't have the white chocolate egg. But my even bigger hope, the more important thing than that, my biggest hope of all, is that all of us will leave this building today or this service today seeing that the resurrection of Jesus is really worth celebrating every day of the year, every year of our lives. Let me pray for us.